There was a sudden sound. Long closed eyes as if a sleep had shot open, lungs filled with breath, and hearts began to beat. The eyes adjusted to the light, and they saw that the stones that once sealed their tombs were split and opened, and they ran out onto the streets, embraced loved ones who were surprised to find that these lost, dead individuals were now once alive. This is an account in Matthew chapter 27, where after Jesus Christ bowed his head, it says the veil was in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks split, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many individuals. These saints, ones who had believed and endured till death, ones who had received the promise of God. It says in verse 9 of Romans chapter 8, however, you are not in the flesh. We'll get to how this is connected at the end. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So he's giving them an encouragement after explaining what the life of one who is not in the Spirit, but rather in the flesh looks like. You, however, you believers are not in the flesh, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. He says, but if anyone does not have the Spirit, or does have the Spirit of Christ, sorry, I misspoke, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. In Ephesians 1, we get this picture, this imagery of the Spirit being a seal, denoting God's ownership of believers, that he has bought them, that they are his. And if you do not have the Spirit, then of course that would mean you don't belong to God. On the contrary, on the other hand, if you do have the Spirit of God, you belong to him. And if Christ is in you, verse 10, though your body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. I'm going to go against the NASB's translation of this. I would say, yet the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is life. Why? Because of justification, because of righteousness. So you've been quickened, you've received this new life, you've been born again unto a living hope, not because of your righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness and your justification in him. The Spirit gives life through the gift of justification. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So though you currently dwell in a body that will undergo decay and death, one day you will be raised up by God. Just as he's given you spiritual life, he will give you eternal life in Christ. So what are some implications of this passage? Well, number one, we have this present promise. In 2 Corinthians 4, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary affliction, a light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. I use the illustration of the show that I watched as a very young person called... Yeah, now I forgot it already. Fear Factor. And they would bring on these contestants. There would be a $50,000 prize, and they had to eat bugs or disgusting things or do these dangerous things or these things that would creep people out, having bugs dumped on top of them and so forth and so forth. And they would go through these ridiculous antics, all in hopes that they would come out on top for $50,000. And maybe if you're like me, you're thinking, I wouldn't do that. But what if the prize, instead of being $50,000, was $500,000, or maybe $5 million, or we could say $50 billion? All of a sudden, eating that gross item may not seem that bad in comparison with a $50 billion prize. In a very similar way, that's what's being pointed out here in this passage, is this, listen, brothers and sisters, though you're here on earth going through momentary afflictions, God is doing something far greater beyond compare for us in heaven. And therefore, we persevere through these times of struggle and tribulation and persecution and pain and sorrow here on earth, because we have our eyes fixed on something far greater, eternity. We have a present assurance of this resurrection. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power." So just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will raise us. John 14:9, "Because I live, you will live also." Just as assuredly Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, so also will we be raised from the dead. So what does this call us to do? What's our present action? Well, number one, because of this passage, live as one whom the Spirit fills, abounding in good works, rejecting sin and the works of the flesh. Read this passage. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men." I know there's a specific context behind this verse, but I do think this application is legitimate. That as you are indwelt by the Spirit and you are part of Christ's kingdom, you, as Colossians points out and Ephesians, this idea of being in Christ, you are to live a life that is righteous, full of peace and joy in the Spirit of God. So live as one who is filled by the Spirit. Also, look forward to the hope that is to come. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Have hope and perseverance. God is the one who preserves you. He is faithful. He has awakened you to a new and living hope, and yet we're called to keep on running, to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling, to be pursuing Christ-likeness. So it was dark. There was thunder. There was weeping, and the stones split like never seen before. Their eyes shot open, and they walked out of that grave to see loved ones. One day we will awaken. One day we will awaken to so much more joy, for we will behold the one who loved us first and laid down his life and rose from the grave and behold our Savior. So as Abraham was given offspring by the promise of God, as Noah was sustained in that ark, as God raised a little shepherd boy to the place of a king over Israel, and as he delivered Israel out of Egypt, so will he keep his word and give life to those who are in Christ Jesus.